Welcome to the Wolverine Digest Podcast, the best spot for objective, authentic coverage of Michigan athletics. If you want open dialogue, honest opinions, and in-depth coverage of the maize and blue, this is the podcast for you. And now, here's your host, Brandon Brown, joined as always by Chris Breitler.
I like it. All right. I thought that was going to keep playing over the intro music, but I didn't realize that YouTube had like a monopoly on how it worked. I didn't put that into the soundboard because I didn't think I needed to.
Boo.
Yeah, but anyway, we're here, man. We're here. It's Friday freaking night. It is the game eve. It is the game eve. And my family's gone. Chris's family's gone. So if our clothes come off at some point during this podcast, bear with us. We're going to do our best to get through
it. Just a couple of bachelors on a Friday night pod.
Just living the dream out here, dude. That's
really what it is. I'm saying go blue.
There you have it. The level of excitement, just what we're going to walk into tomorrow, what we're going to see, what we're going to be around, how it's going to go, that's up for debate. There's a lot of different scenarios that seem to be very possible, depending on who you talk to, who you ask, what you think, whether it's with your head or your heart. Chris and I just had a little discussion about that before we got on the pod, and I'm sure it's going to come up as we go through this stuff here. But at the end of the day, the game itself is just incredible. The stakes are as high as they've ever been. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I can't freaking wait to get there tomorrow and just feel it. Feel the electricity in Ann Arbor. Feel the buzz around the stadium. Hopefully not see a lot of red shit walking around out there, because we've certainly seen that before. And I'm curious. I'm a little curious to see how that looks tomorrow. I know Michigan's ranked real high and they've got a chance to do it all, but I mean, I've talked to a lot of people, and I don't know how confident Michigan fans are after what we've been through, after what we've seen for so many seasons, and kind of feeling like, you know, what this is going to look like tomorrow. I don't know. Let's start right there. What do you think the actual confidence is in the entire fan base and people who follow and cheer for Michigan football?
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of people are trying to like convince themselves, you know, there's a lot of rah, rah, rah. And there should be, to your point, there's a lot of excitement around this game. You know, there's an excitement in Ann Arbor that hasn't been felt in quite some time. And I think people are doing their best to enjoy it. And you're right. That's, you know, that's one part of the experience tomorrow. And then the other part of the experience is obviously the game. And we'll see, you know, obviously what the outcome is there. But in terms of like the excitement around the game, man, I can't wait to get down there. I can't wait to just be in that environment and to experience that with everybody. And you're right. You hope you don't see a lot of shitheads walking around rocking red, because, you know, it feels like an invasion year in and year out. Yeah. And it's like, it just, you know, you hate to see it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Trepa Coles from the YouTube page. I feel like I'm like, my family wasn't here, but like comparing how I felt like going to bed before Thanksgiving or like a big holiday, this is like off the charts compared to that. This is off the charts. I mean, I just can't wait. Chris and I are going to discuss it when we get done with the pod, like what time we're going to get there, what we're going to do, our plan, our approach for the coverage.
It doesn't even feel real. Like it feels, it doesn't even feel like it's tomorrow already. Like it's such a big event. We've been talking about it for a year. You know, we went like with COVID, these guys haven't played football in about 2 years. So this is like, it just feels
throw special. A comment up from CJ Frazier. This is where I am. I can't help it, dude. I want to look at this football to football, body to body, and just feel like Michigan's going to freaking win. I can't get there. I'm kind of giving it away a little bit now, but what we're going to talk about, our predictions and what we think might happen. But I'm excited, dude. I'm excited to be there. I would love to see Michigan put a game plan together that has the Buckeyes reeling and has them back on their heels. And we haven't seen that from anybody this year. I mean, I know Oregon got him earlier in the season. C.J. Stroud was still kind of figuring it out. He had a big day that day, but their defense really let him down. We're going to hear a little bit more about that here shortly. We have a really, really good, informative, in-depth segment from Brendan Gulick, who covers the Buckeyes over at Buckeye Now. So we'll put that up here in just a few minutes. But first, before we get into that, let's do You're Dumb, You're Smart. Let's hear a little bit of us, a little bit of our back and forth first. Then we'll throw up Brendan. We'll hear what he has to say. And then actually, you know what? It might be better to hear what he has to say first before we go through my prediction, so you can make a better judgment on whether I'm dumb or I'm smart.
That's fine. It just, I want to ask the people out there. I've seen a couple of comments come through that maybe there's some audio issues or some crackling.
I think it was that person.
Just one person. Okay. So let it roll. But if you see something like that, don't hesitate to let us know. But yeah, if you want to roll the interview and then we'll get into that stuff after.
I think that makes more sense because there's a couple points in my predictions that I think some of the stuff that Brendan talks about, you might want to hear. He just broke down a lot of things in a lot of depth and went into some details that I hadn't heard before about Ohio State, in particular on their defense. So we're going to throw that up now. So tune in here with Brendan Gulick from Buckeyes Now. Lots of great information about what Ohio State brings to the table and why tomorrow's matchup is as difficult as it is. We are now super excited to welcome in our special guest today and trying to figure out how this game is going to look tomorrow. There's a lot of people that have a lot of different opinions, and we're joined by Brendan Gulick of Buckeyes Now, who's been covering Ohio State for about 4 years and one of the most knowledgeable dudes out there, in my opinion. So I'm really happy to have you, Brendan. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, that's awfully nice. Thanks, man. Looking forward to a fun weekend.
I mean, we've had some discussions over the last couple of years working for Fan Nation, but last year Michigan and Ohio State didn't play, so we didn't have to do any of this stuff, really. So now we're getting a chance to do that. It's worth all the marbles. Ohio State is favored. They obviously have Michigan's number in a massive way over the last 15, 18, 20 years, however you want to look at it. Tomorrow, though, there seems to be some people that think Michigan has a formula. I'm just wondering, What's the narrative around Columbus and around Ohio State for what they feel like tomorrow might look like?
I think the narrative for fans is a lot different than the narrative is for the team right now. You know, fans are certainly riding high in the fact that this has been a one-sided series for basically two decades, and that, you know, Michigan just hasn't been able to figure out whether it's a tight game or a blowout, you know, how to get past Ohio State. The reality is this should be, I think, a competitive game at times, but I do think Ohio State, and we'll kind of get into predictions and things in a little bit here, but I do think Ohio State is considerably the better team. And I say that for a couple different reasons that we can elaborate on too. The Buckeye defense certainly has become far less of a liability than it was early in the season. You know, the reality is the team takes this game extremely seriously. I don't know of any rivalry in sports where a team takes that rivalry as seriously as Ohio State takes this game. And that's not to denigrate anybody. It's not to you know, point fun or point fingers at any other rivalry. You know, it's a lifestyle in Columbus. And you know, I know Michigan has embraced a lot of that this year, it sounds like, which I hope is going to end up being a good thing for the rivalry. I want the games to be more competitive. I think as an Ohio State fan, you want Michigan to be good. You want this rivalry to be top five teams playing each other with a Big Ten championship game on the line. This is good for the sport. But I think Ohio State feels pretty good about where its team is at right now coming into the week. You know, they've obviously got by far the best, most prolific offense in college football this year. You know, only a couple teams have even slowed them down a little bit. I mean, even in the loss to Oregon, you know, Ohio State had 600 yards offense in that game. They didn't lose that game because they weren't offensively, you know, good enough. The defense didn't play well. So I think the team feels a quiet confidence, but, you know, they've also talked pretty regularly about their program goals are beat the team up north, get to Indianapolis, make the college football playoff. And if you do that, you're going to have a chance to win a national championship. And after 11 weeks, you know, those goals are still very real and very much in front of them. So I think fans are maybe more pie in the sky. We're going to beat Michigan this year because we've done it so many times. I think the team looks at it and says, hey, this is a really good Michigan football team. Their defense is playing very well. It's a top five opponent. They don't turn the ball over very much. Got a lot of athletic dudes. You know, going to need to play a good football game this weekend, but I think they believe in themselves to do that.
Well, you touched on a couple things there that lead into the next question very well. So you mentioned that loss to Oregon earlier in the year. I think every team's far different now than they were week two, week three, week one, whenever it was. But so it's a two-part question. At that time, when Ohio State loses to Oregon and C.J. Stroud's a young quarterback and he's trying to figure it out, he put up big numbers. He's done that all season. Two-part question. Is there any level of surprise that Ohio State is in this position now? And then on the flip side, how surprised are Ohio State people that Michigan is in this position right now heading into the final week of the regular season?
Well, first part, I think the level of surprise for Ohio State, as you kind of alluded to, it's changed quite a bit. I mean, I'll tell you right now, after losing to Oregon, it wasn't so much that they lost. It was how the defense looked to me. It made me go, wait a second, you know, this is not good. And they're going to have to, you know, Oklahoma style, try to just outscore their defensive mistakes all year. If this is what the defense is going to look like, you know, the problems kind of dated back even further. I mean, last year, you know, the Buckeyes only played five regular season games and then Clemson and then Alabama. And they gave up several 400-yard passing performances last year. Then they opened this year with a run-heavy Minnesota team. And frankly, Minnesota probably had the right formula to beat the Buckeyes. They controlled the clock for 42 minutes. Minnesota just couldn't stop giving up big, long touchdowns, like 50 yards or more. Ohio State had, I think, four touchdowns in that game that were 50 yards plus. Not a great performance, and Ohio State's defensive line didn't play well. And then against Oregon, you know, a couple of missed fourth down conversions and a defense that just couldn't stop giving up, you know, mediocre chunks at a time. Oregon didn't take the top off the defense very much. They just methodically, surgically moved the ball down the field. And it became pretty clear, you know, that defense wasn't working. So Ohio State did a pretty bold thing, I guess, in season. And they changed their scheme. They changed their play caller. And you know, now you look at it 3 months later and the personnel is a lot more experienced. I read a great article from our friends in The Athletic. I think Max Olson wrote this. The Athletic tracks a defensive metric called stop rate that basically just it helps you determine how effective your defense is. How regularly are you creating turnovers, forcing turnover on downs, or having drives end in punts? Ohio State, after two games, even though they, you know, the offense was great, the defense was 112th in the country in stop rate. Since then, Ohio State's defense has become far better. And on the season now, they're 13th in the country.
Wow.
And if you take those first 2 weeks out of it, where obviously the numbers were skewed pretty heavily the wrong direction, if you look at just week three through now, they're in the top five. 88 stops in 112 drives. Wow. Since then. So, you know, this group that was just hemorrhaging all over the place those first 2 weeks has tightened things up a lot. A lot of it has started in the defensive line. They've gotten much better pressure on the opposing quarterback. And to Oregon and Minnesota's credit, those are probably the two best offensive lines the Buckeyes have seen this year. They've seen a couple of other good ones, but I think Minnesota and Oregon were probably the two best. And Ohio State's young defensive line struggled with that. The Buckeyes had to replace four linebackers from last year. That was a huge undertaking. And now Tommy Eichenberg's playing way better football. I mean, think about this, Brandon. In week three, Ohio State's starting Mike linebacker didn't record a tackle. How does that happen?
Yeah, how does that happen? Unthinkable,
right? He's playing way better football now. Cody Simon's been very good. Steel Chambers, who's a converted running back, is playing like his hair's on fire. He is so much fun to watch play linebacker. Taraja Mitchell's been pretty solid. He's a captain. You know, the Buckeyes, obviously, Dallas Gant entered the transfer portal. Kayvon Pope's meltdown was pretty public. You know, he entered the transfer portal. So that linebacker room has undergone a whole lot of tension and change this year. And then in the secondary, Josh Proctor got hurt early in the season. It's a season-ending injury. And, you know, Bryson Shaw has had some moments that haven't looked very good, but he's gotten a lot better. You're not going to confuse him with an All-American, but he's gotten a lot better as the season's gone along. So the defense, to kind of bring this all back to where you asked, I think the fact that the defense has gotten considerably better, not just statistically, but watching their scheme, watching the way they're playing, you know, it's a totally different unit than it was early in the year. So I don't think Ohio State fans are surprised anymore that this run has come about, because it's so much better on that side of the ball. You know, the offense has done what it's done. I mean, they're on the verge of becoming the second team in the history of the FBS and the first Power 5 team in the history of the FBS to have 3,000-yard receivers and a 1,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud is, I mean, at a minimum, he's going to get an invitation to New York for the Heisman ceremony. They've been able to move the ball on everybody. But I think people are not necessarily surprised where the Buckeyes are now, given the progress of the defense. On the Michigan side of your question, you know, I wasn't a big believer for a little while in Michigan this year, because I didn't think offensively they had looked really good. The defense has done its job. I wasn't overly impressed with the win at Wisconsin, but it's proven to be a good win. I really didn't take much credence in the first three wins of the season. Especially after Washington lost to Montana, that didn't really scream at me. But you know, the win over Penn State was a good win. And obviously last week, Michigan played really, really good football. I didn't like Maryland's scheme defensively. Thought they played a lot of cover one, and I don't think that's a good thing to do against Michigan. But, you know, I kind of expected that Michigan was going to be better this year than they were last year. That felt too much like a flash in the pan to me. And I think Ohio State fans are relishing the opportunity to play against a Michigan team that is significantly better. So there's a lot of buildup and excitement for this game.
Well, you just did a really deep dive on the defensive side, but it is that offense that has people scared. I mean, frankly, I mean, the way they looked last couple weeks, was it 2 weeks ago now against Michigan State, or was that last? It seemed like it was forever ago.
Last week against Michigan State, 2 weeks ago against Purdue. Yeah.
I mean, I've said it a couple times now on different platforms in different places. It might have been the most impressive half of football I've ever seen in a game that was supposed to be a top 10 matchup. You've got two teams battling in the Big Ten East, and it looked like one of the best college teams I've ever seen playing against a JV high school team. It was unbelievable how easy everything was against Michigan State for them. So that's my question. Michigan does have two first-round defensive end slash linebacker hybrid pass rushers in David Ojabo and Aiden Hutchinson. A lot of people think that's going to give them a chance, a fighting chance to slow down Ohio State's offense. What do you think? Because that offense is nasty. The receivers, as you mentioned, the three-headed monster, Travion Henderson, barely even had to play last week, and they still did what they did. Can Michigan's pass rush and defense in general keep Ohio State in check?
The pass rush has to be where it starts. I do think Aiden Hutchinson's probably the best defensive player in the conference this year. He's having a great season. He's got all the tools. He's tough. And Ojabo hasn't been, in my opinion, hasn't been great in the run game. But he is very clearly, you know, a very good pass rusher. I don't know if he's elite, but he's very good. If CJ Stroud is going to make mistakes, it's because they're going to have to get him under duress. And so Michigan's ability to slow down Ohio State's offense has to start at the line of scrimmage. If they can't generate pressure on Stroud, it's going to be a long day in Ann Arbor for the Maize and Blue. But if they can speed up his clock, I think there are ways they can try to keep this game close. You know, when you have Division I scholarship athletes, let alone elite scholarship athletes on the outside that have 5 seconds to run a route to get open, most quarterbacks in America are going to eventually get them the ball and move the chains, right? And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people like to talk about the skill players who are clearly having a good year. And Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson are projected first-round NFL picks. And right now, Jackson Smith and Jigba, statistically, is having the best season of the three.
That's wild.
You know, Travion Henderson's a true freshman, but he's second in the country in yards per carry. The Buckeye offense leads the nation in total offense – scoring offense, yards per game, and yards per play. And in the first halves of the last 2 weeks combined against a top 15 Purdue defense and a Michigan State team that everybody said was top 10 in the country, the Buckeyes averaged 10.2 yards per play in the first halves of those two games combined. They scored 94 points. They had like 900 yards of offense. I mean, the Buckeyes had 500 yards of offense in the first half last week. And it was because there was no pass rush. There was no pressure on Stroud at all. George Karloftis was completely neutralized when the Buckeyes played against Purdue. I think Hutchinson and Ojabo are better than Karloftis. I think a lot of people agree with the Hutchinson part of that. I personally, I'm just not a big George Karloftis guy. I think he's fine, but I don't think he is elite the way that he'd been played up. Michigan has to control the line of scrimmage defensively if they're going to have any chance in this game. And you know, Ohio State's offensive line has been pretty darn good this year. So I think it's going to be a good challenge.
It's going to be fun to watch, no doubt about it. I'm curious to see how it looks because against Penn State, those two got all over Sean Clifford. I mean, they hit him 20 times, 8 sacks, 5 between Hutchinson and Ojabo alone. And then against Maryland, they didn't get to Tagovailoa at all. So obviously they schemed something, get rid of the ball quick, you know, chip, extra help, whatever it is. So I'm interested to see how Ohio State approaches that. And I have kind of a random question. This isn't really a football scheme on the field type of thing. I guess it kind of is, depending on how you take the wording. But Jim Harbaugh in his press conference earlier this week said something that made me kind of go like, oh, I don't like that thought. And I took some heat for it. I took a little bit of backlash on Twitter for it. But Jim Harbaugh said that the two most important things in this game are blocking and tackling, and we need to channel Woody and Bo. And I just went, dude, no. It's not 1977, man. Like I understand that blocking and tackling are very, very important in the game of football, but I just feel like that antiquated thought process or approach is kind of why they've been behind Ohio State the way they have been. Your thoughts on a quote like that, and am I overreacting just because I'm damaged from watching Ohio State run up and down the field on Michigan for the last 10 years?
I'll keep my comments really brief here. I think Jim Harbaugh says a lot of things that make me go.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I expect him to express optimism and confidence in his team. What else is he supposed to say?
Sure.
I can't find myself inside his head. He says a lot of things that just make me kind of scratch my head a little bit. I'll tell you the biggest thing about the way that he's gone about the season that I haven't understood is frankly the rotation at quarterback.
Yeah. You know,
I don't understand why there has been such back and forth between Cade McNamara and JJ McCarthy. If you have two guys, you don't have a guy. That's pretty clear to me. And I don't know if the whole idea is, you know, we're trying to build for next year or 2 years because JJ came in as this super highly recruited kid. I mean, anybody who's paid any sliver of attention to Michigan football would tell you that, you know, the lack of development at quarterback is what's held this program back. And if they have an elite quarterback, they're probably, you know, pretty regularly in the conversation for a college football playoff spot. So maybe that's his way of trying to develop JJ this year. I don't know. Cade McNamara's had a pretty good season. You know, he's not going to launch the ball down the field with great accuracy too often, but he certainly doesn't turn the ball over, you know, and if you've got a guy that can manage the game well and not give it away and you balance it with what's proven to be a good rushing attack this year. I don't know, man, if I'm the starting quarterback and I'm in a tight game and I get pulled out for a play or two to put somebody else in, like, I guess maybe it's just me, but like, I don't know if that would sit well with me. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird dynamic. So I don't know. I wish him well.
Fair enough. Last thing, and we'll let you get out of here. You kind of been doing this throughout the whole discussion, but a quick overview of how you see the game maybe playing out. I mean, I think it's paramount that Michigan keeps Ohio State in check for a little bit. I mean, if Ohio State gets out, scores first, scores twice, maybe it's a wrap. I just think that that's the worst case scenario. So how do you think it might look? And then what's your prediction for this massive game in Ann Arbor tomorrow?
I can see this game going a few different ways. You know, given what Ohio State's offense has been able to do this year, it's not out of the question they can score 50 points, and they've done it in this rivalry the last 2 years. There's no doubt in my mind they have the ability to do that. I could also see where Michigan takes a page out of Minnesota's playbook or out of Penn State's playbook and tries like crazy to control the clock, because the best thing Michigan can do is keep Ohio State's offense off the field. So if the Buckeyes don't have a bunch of offensive opportunities to score, maybe Ohio State doesn't run away with it. I don't think the Buckeyes are going to have a defensive touchdown. If they do, that's going to be really tough for Michigan to get over. Ohio State, I think it's 6 defensive touchdowns on the year now. But given the propensity that Michigan has to not turn the ball over, I would be surprised if the Buckeyes have a defensive score this weekend. So I could see a really high-scoring game because they're really capable of it. I could see where the Buckeyes maybe are held below their season average of 47 a game because maybe Michigan can run the ball effectively and control the clock. So I think maybe just to be safe, my final score prediction is somewhere in the middle there. I'm going with 45-24. I think Michigan offensively has enough to move the ball, and Ohio State's defense has not been, you know, totally infallible, even these last couple of weeks. When they've played very well, you know, Purdue has had a couple of good plays. Michigan State had a couple of good plays. I think Michigan is far and away the most talented team the Buckeyes have seen this year. I think Michigan is decidedly better than Oregon. I'm absolutely convinced that Michigan's a better program than Oregon is. So I kind of expect them to score a couple times. Plus this game, you know, you throw the records out the window, you throw the stats out the window, you just go play the game. And Michigan does have some good talented players. But the 7-point spread to me, I thought was not enough. I would really expect Ohio State to win this game handily. So I'm going 45-24.
There you have it. How dare you be rational, Brandon? How dare you?
I'm so sorry.
How dare you be rational and provide statistics and facts and figures and be level-headed and not scream and yell at me? No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, it hasn't been this important in a long time, and that's what makes it fun. I mean, regardless, well, I guess I can't say regardless of the outcome, but I mean the build up to it, the atmosphere in Ann Arbor tomorrow should be incredible. And it is. It's for all the marbles, man. I can't wait to watch it.
And this is what college football is all about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got game day there. You got Fox Big Noon kickoff. You know, it is the game. It is not just the game between these two teams. People in all parts of the country, you know and want to watch this game. You think about where this rivalry was 30 years ago, and it was so heavily skewed toward kids that grew up in Michigan and kids that grew up in Ohio. And now, I mean, just look at the recruiting classes. You get guys nationally. It truly is a national rivalry game, the same way it is a regional rivalry. It's going to be a ton of fun. The energy and atmosphere around a game like this is unmatched. And the fact that there is so much at stake makes it all that much better.
It's a big deal, man. Thanks so much for the time. We went a little over, but hey, man, that's what happens when you talk about the game, and this one is as important as it's been in a long, long time. Brennan, thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, and have some fun this weekend. I'm not wishing you good luck, but I hope you have fun.
We'll try. Thanks a lot. All right. You got to unmute yourself, Chris.
I am 100% with the people in the comments. We gave that guy too much airtime. Way too much airtime.
He knows
his stuff. I'm not going to take that away from him, but that was a little much for me, man. A little much for me.
You're funny still, man. You're back on.
Look, James Corum, he understands too much.
I hear it. I see it. I hear it. Look, The reason why I find it funny is because these are the same kind of reactions I get when I approach things like with a level head and I provide stats.
Listen, hey, look at I get the level head stuff. I get the level head stuff, but this guy clearly, I don't know. I didn't like the cut of it. Look, knowledgeable, knows what he's talking about, but maybe it's just the fact that he's a Buckeye. Maybe it's the eve of the game. I didn't like it. I didn't care for it. I'm glad it's over.
Well, you're not going to like me very much for the rest of the way then, I don't think. I'll put it like that.
Well, that's all right.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right. Well, we're going to give you a shot right now to call me dumb and to call me smart a couple of times.
I'm going to make up for it. I'm going to make up for it, ladies and gentlemen. I've got some opportunity here to make up for it.
Oh, I forgot to type them out on my screen. I have them on this. Here, I'll pull it up on my phone. Look, man, it might not be easy to hear, but I saw the comments coming through like, he's a slap. Oh, this guy. Dude. 15 out of 16. They win by 20 points every year. I mean, like, what are you doing?
We know. What are you doing? We know. But we know that. He's earned the right to be arrogant, but just because he's earned that doesn't mean I have to like it.
Well, I guess that's where I'm at. I don't see anybody just using facts and figures and historical relevant evidence and just explaining it as being arrogant. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. We'll see. I mean, we're going to get into our predictions and some of the things that we think.
We'll agree to disagree. He gave some good insight into that Ohio State defense. You know, the thing that I really took away from that was what?
Yeah, this is it. This is the point right here. Cody's got it. Every fan base sounds the same way. Like, right. We're going to kick Ohio State's ass tomorrow. Like, why? Why do you say that?
Hey, listen, I did find one statistic interesting that he gave. It was what? They've got 88 stops out of the last 112 drives. I thought that was pretty impressive from a defensive standpoint, given the fact that we know Michigan's going to have to move the ball. So that stuck out. I'm not saying anything he did was wrong. I just think we could have condensed it down maybe like 10 minutes and told him to speed it the hell up here.
We've had every person
get you out
15 to 20 minutes.
I understand, but we should shorten it for this week. They don't listen, deserve guys, the airtime.
Don't do the middle school thing. If you can listen to another person talk about them getting their ass beat by Michigan 20 minutes, you can do the other thing.
No. See, I've drawn the line.
You gotta be in here
ten
longer.
10 minutes max for a Buckeye on this show. 10 minutes max. And that's stretching it.
All right. I'm smarter, I'm dumb. I'm smarter, I'm dumb. I think, let me guess. Let me see, given Chris's tone and approach tonight, let me see what I'm going to get here. I don't even need him to do this segment. Number one, Blake Corum's going to score a touchdown this week, man.
If he's in, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the guy's going to be lathered up to be back in the game. I think he's going to be ready to play. Obviously, last week he looked like he was moving around pregame, he's got some of his movement back. So I think it's a smart call. Assuming he's able to play, I think he'll find his way into the end zone. He's super explosive. And in Big Ten play, he's been held back a little bit. And he is due for a big game. And if there's any time to have a big game, this Saturday is the time to do it. So smart call on your part.
I mean, he's going to be fresh. Obviously, he hasn't played in a couple of weeks. He's going to be amped up. I mean, he hasn't played in this game at all.
There you go. Sharon Corum, look at this. Yes, he is. He is ready.
Well,
he
that's
is
confirmation. Ready to
go. Confirmation. There we go.
Confirmation right there. That
get that man the damn ball. Get him the ball.
We don't get definitive answers from Harbaugh or the staff, but when you see him last week, he's in full uniform. He's ready to roll, but it was Maryland, and they won by 40. It seemed like a given that he would be ready to play this week. So there you go. But I think that's to what we've talked about throughout this week, to what Brendan just said, they want to take as much time off the clock as they can and keep Ohio State's offense on the sidelines. And you do that by running the ball effectively. You got Blake Corum, you've got Hassan Haskins, and maybe Donovan Edwards too. In the mix, you've got a lot of capable guys that can do that. And I think if Blake is in there quite a bit and he carries it a bunch of times, then yes, he will find his way into the end zone. Number two, I got to get the board ready. Jake Moody will connect on at least two field goals, which I don't know if that's a great thing, but that's kind of what I see happening. Jake Moody
will get my final. I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I think it's a smart call to believe that. I don't believe so, but I wouldn't necessarily call you dumb for predicting that. Based on what we've heard from Ohio State's defense, how well they're playing, and what we've seen sometimes from the Michigan offense, particularly in the red zone. It's looked better over the last few weeks, but when you get up against a defense like that, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, to see it play out that way with Moody. So it's a smart call.
That stat you pointed out is exactly why I decided to put this one in the predictions.
Yeah.
When they've stopped 88 of 112 drives, that means to me, I see Michigan, you know, kind of bogging down a couple of times, and Moody gets a couple field goals. And maybe it's not close. I mean, maybe he bangs a 45-yarder or a 50-yarder. You never know. But I do think he's going to be called upon. I think he's going to have to knock a couple field goals through. So I think that one will happen. All right. Michigan will pick off C.J. Stroud at least one time. Michigan will intercept C.J. Stroud once at least.
That is a smart call, Brandon. That's a smart call because you know what's going to happen tomorrow? C.J. Stroud is going to be put on his ass. He's going to be forced to get out of the pocket. He's going to make some bad decisions. He's going to turn the ball over. That is a smart call.
I do think that Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo are going to affect the game in a way that he has not seen before. I don't know if that means a bunch of sacks, because they're good players on Ohio State's roster. They're smart players. The coaches are smart. They're not going to let them sit back there and get teed off on. But I think they're going to get to him. I think they're going to move him around. I think they're going to have him operating uncomfortably, and I think that could lead to – I mean, dude, the kid's still just a redshirt freshman. He's played so well this year, but he's
never
played.
He's never started in this game. Did he play? No, he hasn't even played in the game.
No, this is only his second year there. So he's never been to the Big House. He's never seen a crowd this big. He's never felt this kind of energy. And he certainly hasn't seen two ends like Ojabo and Hutchinson.
Two top 10 picks, potentially?
I think he's going to get rattled a little bit. I still think he's going to have a successful day because they're just good, man. He's just got incredible weapons to work with.
Well, the key is what I think your guest said, is you can't let him sit back there and have 5 to 10 seconds to work with. You've got to get to him. You got to throw him off his rhythm.
Absolutely. And that leads into my next one. I do think that C.J. Stroud is going to throw for 350.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I don't know. What's he averaging? That's what he's averaging.
Yep.
It's going to be close. I think regardless, I don't think Michigan's going to be able to prevent the Buckeyes from throwing the ball down the field. They're just going to have to make enough stops to get the job done. I still think he's going to move the ball as long as they can keep him out of the end zone. I think it'll spell good things. Again, though, I don't think it's a dumb call.
You know,
Is that the last one? No, there's one more.
All right. If it's super, super freaking cold and it is snowing and blowing around a little bit, maybe there not. Maybe not.
Sub-30s, windy, some flurries.
I think if it's just cold, I don't think that affects players that much. Not 30. If we're talking negative 10 and it's 7 o'clock p.m. kickoff and it's below zero, that's a little different animal. But 30 degrees, I don't think that's going to affect that much. I think he's going to, like you just said, I think – the weapons are just too good. They're not going to be stopped. Michigan just has to keep them in check as best they can. And I think that's hard to do. They've got a ton of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And, well, I know what you're going to say on this one. I think Ohio State is going to cover the spread. I think that 7-point number, I mean, dude, Vegas doesn't screw up. So I am very, very curious as to why that number is what it is. But I think Ohio State's going to cover that number.
You know why? It's because they understand there's something special happening in Michigan right now. They understand that there's an aura around the Big House right now. This year is going to be different. That is a stupid call. Not only will Ohio State not cover, it's Michigan all day. We have paid our dues. They have paid their dues. It's time. It's time. Sorry to destroy the narrative for you, Brandon. I know you wanted it to play out the other way.
It's not about a want. It is all about a... You know what? Because...
Madeline is right. Yes, I am a classic Michigan fan. Look, this is my first year covering the team in an official capacity.
I know.
I am not ready to be jaded just yet.
Chris, give it time. Give it some time.
Listen, hey, look at it. I know I'm not the only one feeling it. I know I'm not the only one feeling it. There's something out there. You can feel it in the air. The way the shit clings to the air.
Well, and Chris, as we fade the music out from that segment that we just finished up, I want you to talk a little bit about, because I just saw somebody bring this up, Darren May right there. I hope the refs do their jobs. And we've seen some people on social media already. I'll let you take the floor here. Some of the stuff you've seen on social media and some of these narratives that people are putting out there on Friday night already, you're like, what the hell? What are we doing?
I think anybody listening to the show will understand I'm hyped up for the game. I am 100% all in for the Wolverines. I'm supporting it. But I do see this sort of narrative building on social media that's bugging the hell out of me. Wait, hold on. I'm going to exit out, come back in. Let me exit out, come back in. I'm getting the echo. Cover for me. I'll be right back.
I'm going to talk about this while you're out of here. Ben, you couldn't be more wrong. I think what I think about Jim Harbaugh because of what he's done, not because I don't like the guy. I'll never understand this thought that I literally want like Jim Harbaugh to do badly, or I want Michigan to do badly. It's just based on what I've been covering and watching for 8 years. All right. That's all it is. It's nothing else. It's not personal. It's not emotional. It just is what it is, man. I mean, people want to say that and they want to think that. That's what I get for it's what I talked about at the beginning. I say the same kinds of things and people call me those names like they just were to Brennan, because he's like, Ohio State has the best offense in football. People are like, slap dick. I'm like, he literally just stated a fact. Like,
It was just a sense coming from there. He was oozing it. Okay. All right, here, we'll get back to, all right. So here's what I was saying and what you had asked me earlier, that there is this narrative that's starting to grow on social media that bothers me a little bit. And clearly I'm not, you know, I'm all in. I think Michigan can get this thing done. I think Jim Harbaugh can get this thing done. And I feel like Michigan has a legitimate shot. But what I don't like is this narrative on social media that no matter what happens tomorrow, Jim Harbaugh is the right guy for the job. Like I saw Jake Butt had put out a tweet that, you know, you got to give Jim Harbaugh credit regardless of what happens. And it's going to be tough tomorrow. And you've seen other people put out tweets that, you know, no matter what happens, Jim Harbaugh is the man for the job. And for me, that just doesn't sit right. Like, why now on the eve of that game are you already saying that it doesn't matter because it's already a good job? Like, the idea that the result on Saturday tomorrow doesn't matter just doesn't register with me. Yes, it matters. There's a reason why there's a sign that's been hanging up in the weight room and all over their facilities for the better part of a year for this one game, because this one game matters. So the idea that, you know, no matter what happens tomorrow, it's all good. I don't subscribe to that. And I don't like the idea that people are already putting it out there, because it sure as hell doesn't portray a sense of confidence in your team and what they're about to do.
That C word that you just said, that's it. I mean, if it's Friday night and you're already talking about, they hope the refs.
Hold on, Brandon. If I go out to ice skate in my backyard and I put on skates and I'm about to do like a triple axel loop, and I tell you, Brandon, if I break my ankle on this triple axel loop, I need you to take me to the hospital. How confident are you I can pull off that triple axel loop? I can't pull it off. It's more of a chance we're going to go to the hospital.
Very intrigued as to why you used figure skating for your example, but whatever you do, man, whatever you want to do. It's fine.
Was I the only one as a kid that like grew up on figure skating? I feel like that was the only like on ABC and NBC. Oh my, back in the day, Nancy Kerrigan, the whole thing that went down there. I was intrigued. Yeah. I was in it.
So anyway, there's a couple things that we've seen from multiple people on social media talking about, like the refs already.
The refs, right.
Or like, no matter what happens, Jim Harbaugh is awesome. And I'm like, dude, what? They haven't even played yet. Can you wait to slurp his balls before the thing actually happens? I don't get that approach. Whether they win or lose, I don't really get that approach. Why you're putting that out there tonight? That's strange.
Yeah, the whole idea of like, there's this, I don't know if it's a conspiracy or if it's legit. I haven't even looked into it because I don't care. But the fact that the guy from the 2016 who called the spot is the same ref that's going to be there in Ann Arbor. And they're sort of making it a big deal. I don't know. I don't care. I mean, it's not going to come down to the referees. I want Michigan to win just as much as anybody, but yeah, I don't think it's going to come down to officials tomorrow.
I don't, I'm not even going to put that comment. My name is in the comments, so I thought about addressing it, but I don't even know what that guy's talking about, so we're just going to leave it alone. All right, we are getting into our next segment. Talk about a couple Big Ten games. Keep it moving. Obviously, the biggest one is Michigan-Ohio State. It's not freaking close, but there is another decent
Big Ten, big game.
Chris Brailer, Penn State at Michigan State at 3:30.
Ooh,
and the very Nittany juicy. Lions. The Nittany Lions are favored by 3.5 in East Lansing. What do you think about that?
I can see that.
They're dinged up, man. They're hurt right now.
They're dinged up, and Clifford the Big Red Dog can move the ball. We've seen he can throw it. We've seen he can scramble up the middle. He can rip off 20, 40-yard runs here and there. I like the Nittany Lions in this one. I think that you're right. I feel like the wind got taken out of Michigan State's sails after last weekend, and I think everything that they were playing for sort of went away. Penn State's going to come in motivated. You know, Franklin just got his new contract. It's sunny blue skies out there in Happy Valley. I think they come in highly motivated. I'm not surprised to see them favored.
Just $200 million on the sidelines on that one. Unreal, and
I was going to say, it's not like Mel Tucker doesn't have his own motivations.
That's what I'm saying. Saturday. $90 million or so on either sideline in that one. So that's pretty crazy. But yeah, Michigan State, they're hurt, man. The facts are that's not a super talented roster. And when you take out a handful of those talented guys, both of their top receivers are out. I think their left tackle is still out. Crivaris Crouch, I believe, is out. They're just banged up. And you get absolutely demoralized like you did last weekend. That's going to take a little wind out of your sails. So I do think Penn State probably goes in there and covers that one minus 3.5. Dude,
I will say before you move on to the next one, I do want to say, it was really nice to see. I'm not a big fan of him. I obviously don't like Michigan State, but to see Mel Tucker, African-American head coach, secure a contract like that, love to see it. It's a really big deal, and it continues to pave the way for other coaches to do the same thing. So even though I hate him, I'm happy to see it.
You hate him by association, but
that's all it is.
By all accounts, he seems like a good freaking dude. Like, the players like him. He recruits well. It's cool, man. Good for him. He's earned it this year. Obviously, that game last week, I wonder if the donors and people were like, well, can we take a little bit off the top?
Did we say 95 mil?
Yeah. So anyway, that's really cool, though, for him. And I mean, shoot, man, you like when your rivals are, you know, they're like Brendan said, when they're good and the games are good and you feel like you got a big deal. And
I hated Mark D'Antonio, but I loved what he did for that program and what it did for the rivalry.
That's it right there, Darren. It's fun to beat them when they're good.
Yes. He legit hated Michigan, and you could sense that as a Michigan fan. And I legit hate Michigan State, and it felt right. Want that.
Big 10, big lane.
Oh, no.
Northwestern at Illinois, baby.
Oof. Noon kick? What time are they kicking?
3:30.
It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Yeah. Snoozer.
Before I even say it, Northwestern at Illinois, what do you think the line is in that one?
I have no idea.
Take a guess.
You mean over under total points?
Who's the favorite and by what mark?
Northwestern by 4.5.
Illinois by 6.5. Congratulations. Now, who cares?
Nobody cares.
That's why I wanted to ask, because I wanted to see if you could even get close to it. Because I saw the matchup. I started typing it out. I'm like, Illinois by 6.5, I guess because they're at home. It's like, I don't know, man. That's a tough one.
It's dookie.
More power.
Nothing matters, right? Neither one of them are going to do anything.
More power to the media markets covering that one. Because that is rough. Anyway, that's it, man. That's all we got for the Big Ten slate.
All right.
We'll obviously get into a bigger game here at the end. We got over-unders, and we're going to talk about the one other big-time ranked matchup, and then we'll finish out with our prediction stuff. You ready to get it?
I am ready, sir.
You want to go first, or you want me to? Burning question up.
Kick it off.
You know what, dude? I fudged it right across. I just kept it from last week because I really am curious to see what we see. JJ McCarthy, over-under, 5.5 snaps against the Buckeyes at home. Is he going to play?
I think you will see him play, but I think it'll be under. I could see it being 2 or 3 random snaps, as we've seen throughout the year. Maybe he comes in, hands it off. It's a read option, but I don't see him getting. You said 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
I think the game, the way the game is going to go, I just think they're going to need Cade McNamara in there. Ball security is going to be the name of the game. Obviously, you risk a little bit of that when you bring JJ in just because he wants to make plays. So I'll go under.
I think it's going to be under two, and I think that because I just think back to what they did against Penn State. Tight game. It was on the road, but this is obviously the best team that Michigan's going to play. And he didn't play at all against Penn State. Not one snap. So I feel like that's more likely than him being in there six plays or more. But I don't know. I mean, maybe they, you know, it does give Ohio State a little something to think about and worry about if you bring them in and you do some different things with them. But
I like what Michael said there in the red zone. I could see that if Michigan okay. is getting to the red zone and they're struggling and they're settling for field goals, I could see a scenario where Harbaugh and company says, let's get JJ out there in the red zone and see if he can do some of the things we've seen him do, where he connects with Andrell or he gets out of the pocket and uses his legs. I mean, if you need offense in the red zone, it seems like that's probably where it's going to happen.
Here's a couple people asking the same question, CJ and Ben. If Cade struggles, could we see more JJ? Haven't seen it all year.
Yeah,
I don't think that's where you try him out.
Not in this one.
I'd be shocked. I would be shocked if they take that approach, but we'll see. All right, you're up, Chris.
All right. So to start us off, I've got the Michigan offense turnovers set at 1.5. Michigan committing 1.5 turnovers on the afternoon. Over under 1.5.
I'd say under. They've been so good with it. I mean, I think we had this a week or two ago. I don't remember. Was it Maryland when we said, I think I might have put it at a half, and both of us were like, oh, over. I mean, you're going to turn it over. And they didn't. No turnovers. And they've done that a couple times this year. So I'll say under. They've just done a really good job taking care of the ball, and I think that's going to be a focus and a huge point of emphasis tomorrow because you can't give that team extra possessions on offense. So I'll say under. I think they're going to really focus on it, and I think they're going to do a good job like they have all year.
And that's why exactly I'm going to say under as well, because they simply can't afford to turn the ball over. I think that's been an emphasis all week. You know how good that offense is. You can't give them extra possessions. I think that's part of that plays into the reason why you'll see, you know, JJ McCarthy get fewer than five snaps. I'm going to go under because I think that they've spent a considerable amount of time talking about that and practicing that this week.
Well, we got confirmation from Miss Corum that Blake is good to go. He's ready.
He's ready.
I'm glad I have this on here now. I have Blake Corum over under 12.5 carries.
I will go over. I will go over. It's a big game. If the dude's ready, if he's healed up, you're going to need – I like bringing – I know that Hassan Haskins has done really well carrying the load, but Ohio State's going to present a bit of a different challenge. I like the idea of being able to utilize two different backs to sort of poke the fence and see which one's going to work best. I think he's going to go over the 12 carries. I think it's, you know, like I said, he's due for a big afternoon. Why not have a Saturday?
Little Jurassic Park reference.
Test the fence. You like that, right? That's why I like you. You caught it.
I do like that. I think it's over as well. I think if he is healthy and you're going to put him in there full go, then we're going to see what we saw every game up to that point. And that was a heavy dose of both Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum, and they'll probably both be north of that mark.
Don't forget, that also means possibly him participating on special teams. I don't know if he's going to be back fully, but he was doing a lot of kick returning as well. Yeah. So, you know, that also helps in those areas.
Yep, I think he'll be on the field. I think we see him over 12.5 carries.
All right, so I asked you how many times the Michigan offense was going to turn it over. Now we're going to go to the other side of the ball. How many takeaways does the Michigan defense get? I've got the takeaway set at 1.5 on the afternoon.
Oh, that is really close because I think it happens once. I don't know if it happens twice. I'll say over. I see a strip sack from one of the big boys, and I see a pick. Because one of the big boys pushes Stroud off his mark or maybe hits his arm or the ball flops up in the air, something like that. I'll say over, but I think it's two. I don't think they're going to do it a bunch. If they do it a bunch, all bets are off for what I think this game will look like. That is the key to me. If they can turn Ohio State over multiple times, 3, 4, 5 times, then this could go any direction, and Michigan would obviously have a much better chance in that situation. But I do think it happens. I do think it happens twice. I'll take over 1.5.
I will also go over for the same reason I said in the last part, is because I think it's out of necessity. I think they're going to have to create turnovers. And I like what you said there. I think there's going to be a strip sack involved. I think that maybe Hutchinson and Ojabo and that pressure all afternoon is going to force Stroud to try to force the ball out and make some bad decisions. They'll get another pick there. I think I'll take the over on the 1.5. I think Michigan's going to need it if they're going to have a shot in this one.
Yeah, and if I had to, like, take a guess, because these were your last two questions just now, I would say Ohio State has two turnovers on the road in the Big House, that pressure from on the quarterback, and I would say Michigan would have one. And I don't know if winning the turnover margin by just one is enough to, you know,
do. Feels like you need more possessions.
I think so. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. All right, this one is it's a specific one. I don't expect it to be maybe a huge part of the game, but I think it's my favorite one that I came up with today just because of what we saw last week. And I don't know if you have something like this, Chris. Donovan Edwards over under 3.5 catches. Donovan Edwards over under 3.5 catches.
I almost had that in. I took it out because I didn't know where to go with the number.
I mean, he had freaking 10 last.
I know. But prior to that, how many did he have?
Yeah, I don't like
a couple. You know, it was like this burst on the scene. And it's like, well, it's like what you've seen with Andrell. Like, he comes out in a game and he starts snagging the ball out of the air. And you're like, are we going to see that again? So I don't know. I would say over just because they proved it worked well. Now, I don't know if that was a scheme thing that Maryland was doing defensively, but it seemed to work in College Park. And I would assume that if, you know, if they want to win and they need to put up points, that Donovan Edwards is going to have to be part of that.
He had exactly one catch coming into that game.
There you go. So I don't know. I would say it worked pretty well last week. If you need some offense, why not do it this week? Get him a damn ball. Get your athletes the ball. Roman Wilson, yeah. AJ Henning.
All right. Two.
Donovan Edwards.
Two catches coming into that game, then 10 against Maryland. I didn't see the very first one of the season. He did have one catch for
all three. All that 4-3, 4-4 speed. Give him the ball. Let him play on Saturday. Let him play with the other athletes on Saturday. Let those boys work. That's why they came to Ann Arbor. We have studs, man. We have athletes.
I think it's going to be under. I think if Blake Corum is truly back, there's not a lot of snaps.
That's
to go
true.
Around.
Well, that's another big part of it. You know, if they line him up in the slot, like what a lot of people are saying, or they try to get some things out of the backfield. But you're right, Blake Corum back, I think, changes the equation.
I think it's under. I mean, it's not weird to say that when for 10 games he had two catches and then he happens to have 10 catches last week. I mean, Blake Corum wasn't playing. Maryland's defense was, you know, ripe for the picking when it came to throwing to the running back out of the backfield. That it was kind of a perfect storm for him to have that kind of day. So I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under 3.5 catches for Donovan Edwards tomorrow.
All right, moving on. I just referenced him when I was kind of making my point there about Donovan Edwards, but Andrell Anthony, we've been waiting to see. You know, you saw him obviously have a hell of a game against Michigan State. He's shown that he can play at an elite level. Are we going to see over 3.5 receptions on Saturday? I've got the over under set at 3.5 receptions for true freshman Andrell Anthony.
I will say over because what I think the game is going to look like will require Michigan to throw the ball. I think Michigan wants to run the ball and limit possessions and grind it out, but I just don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to get behind, and I think they're going to have to throw it to try to make some plays and try to get some points on the board in a hurry. So I think the receiving numbers will be elevated. So I'll say, what was it, 3.5 for him as well?
3.5.
I'll say over, not by a lot, but I think he'll eclipse that mark by a little bit.
I feel like I'm picking only based on necessity at this point. And I also go over because I think he's going to need to be over 3.5 receptions. If you look at the type of wide receivers that CJ Stroud is working with, Cade McNamara needs to be able to use his weapons as well. And that's one guy that's a big, big weapon. He's proven that he can go up and make the types of catches that can be the difference maker in a game like this. Like, you're going to need guys that can go out and make plays. He's the type of receiver that can make plays. I'll put over because he has to be over. Over 3.5.
All right, this is one of those numbers that we've talked about a lot on Wednesday. Everybody's on board with the idea that Michigan needs to get a bunch of pressure on C.J. Stroud in order to really affect what he's doing and really try to hamstring Ohio State's offense a little bit. A lot of it, really, depending on how good it can be. So I'll put Michigan team sacks, not just Hutchinson and Ojabo, but team sacks for the whole unit at 4.5. 4.5 sacks for Michigan's defense.
See, before you said that, my mind went to the number 4. Mm. I was like, all right, 4 sacks on the afternoon. But then I thought, is 4 going to be enough? If they get to Stroud 4 times, is that going to be enough? I don't think it's going to be enough. So because it needs to be over, out of necessity, I say over. I think they get to 5 because they have to get to 5.
I find myself, I'm with you. That's why I picked the number that I picked, because I was like, 4 sounds right. 5 sounds like a lot. So that's where you put your number, and that's how you get good discussion. I think it's gonna be under. I think whatever Maryland did last week, I think Ohio State's gonna look at that and say, we're gonna try to do something.
Well, that's concerning. It's concerning because we looked at Maryland and we thought, did we have 2 apiece for Hutchinson? Yeah, no, I mean, we thought they were gonna feast that day and they didn't get there. I don't know how much of that was a product of just the way the game was going, but clearly they weren't getting to the quarterback that day.
You know, if they do get to Stroud a few times, if they get to 2 or 3 sacks, I mean, Day is going to be in his ass. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that. They're going to coach him out of it so that he doesn't take anymore. I'm going to say under, but I think it is like 3 or 4. I mean, I think they're going to get to him. I think they're going to make him uncomfortable. But that's a lot. And, you know, the game against Penn State was like the best case scenario for Michigan's pass rush. And then against Maryland, it was like, what happened? Like, how did that happen? How was there such a big drop-off against a worse opponent that throws the ball even more? But, again, when you know what you're going up against and you know that that's the best way for the other team to make it a game, then you do everything in your power to not give them that strength. You try to take away that strength.
Don't forget, Ojabo's parents, both of them, for the first time in the stands on Saturday, don't think that man isn't going to be extra motivated to get to the quarterback and put on a show. Little extra motivation there for Mr. Ojabo.
There you go.
All right, so we're moving on. Next question here. Over under. I've got Mr. AJ Henning at 100.5 all-purpose yards. 100.5 all-purpose yards. Jet sweeps, kick returns.
Punt returns, receiving, rushing. You know what, man? I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under because I just don't think they use him enough. I mean, if you could promise me that he was going to get 40 snaps, which I don't think he's even come close to, I would say over. But he plays like 15, 12, 17 snaps a game. You know, Ohio State's going to be the most athletic, fastest team Michigan's played all year. So I don't know if you see a 77-yard jet sweep for AJ Henning like you've seen in the past. And I can't imagine they're going to try to do another trick play on kick return with him after they just did it last week. So I think because he's not used that much and because they kind of showed their hand a little bit with him throughout the year and last week, I don't see him having one of those big explosive long touchdown plays that he's done it a few times this year, but I don't see that tomorrow.
Well, that's the big question, right, is how many times is he going to touch the ball? If he only gets 3 touches offensively, then I think it's a lot harder to get to that number. But just like everything else for tomorrow, I think that if you're going to ride your horses, tomorrow afternoon is the time you ride them. And I think AJ Henning is one of those guys that has to have the ball in his hands. He's one of those dynamic, can make plays. He's an athlete. He's fast. He's quick. In open space, he can make things happen. I'm going to say over, kick returns, punt returns, jet sweeps. I think he gets over the 100-yard mark.
You know what? I forgot about the fact that he might be returning kicks still if Blake is not 100% or back.
Well, correct.
And to CJ's point, if Michigan has to take like 9 kickoffs or something.
There you go.
I mean, get to that number real quick. But you don't have to return them very far if you're returning 6 or 7 That's or 8 true. Of them.
16 kick returns.
I forgot about the kick return thing because I was thinking like, okay, he does punts, he does receiving, he does rushing. But with Blake Corum out, he's been back there. We haven't seen him much because, I mean, Maryland didn't score but one time. And then obviously, the one return he did have, he took it back for a touchdown. I'll stick with what I said. I still agree with my original analysis that he doesn't play enough. And I wrote an article back week 2 or 3. AJ Henning needs to play more, and he just really hasn't played that much all season. His snap count number is not very high, so I'll stick with the under.
Yeah, and I'll stick with the over again out of necessity. I think he needs to play a part in what they're trying to do tomorrow.
All right, my last one, Chris, and this is, I guess, you know, kind of where the game comes down to how successful Ohio State is going to be on offense. C.J. Stroud over under 2.5 touchdown passes.
Wow, that was my last question.
Except that's the same
I've got
one?
I've got it set at, can you see it, where I'm set at? Hold on here.
You had it at 3.5. Okay.
Three and a half.
So I'm guessing you'd go over to the 2.5 number.
I would go over the two. I think he's going to get to three. That's the number I think he's going to get to. I think if he gets over three, if he gets to four, I just don't see how Michigan wins that game if you're letting him throw four touchdown passes. So I think the number's three. I'll put over at 2.5, but I would put under at 3.5.
I'm going to go over as well. I think it is three. I think Michigan's going to do everything they can to keep the passing game in check, and then you got to try to deal with Travion Henderson, and I think he's going to score tomorrow as well. I mean,
are we talking three passing, three rushing? Is that what we think we're going to get out of this, you know, out of the Buckeyes there? Six total touchdowns on the afternoon?
Well, we're going to find out in just a minute.
I don't know that the Michigan offense can – I don't know that they can get there.
We're going to find out just a minute what my number is, and we'll answer and come back to that question. So there you have it for our over-unders. That's your last one, right, since we had the same one?
That was it.
Over-unders in the book. We finish up with Place Your Bets, and then obviously that leads us into our discussion and our picks for this Michigan game. Here we go. And there's only one other ranked matchup, and I wanted to leave it there because that gives us a lot of time to spend on Michigan-Ohio State for our predictions and what we think. And we're already over an hour. So we need to start wrapping this up
here. Wow.
The only other ranked game this weekend right now is number 10, Oklahoma, at number 7, Oklahoma State. Bedlam.
That's the only other ranked game this weekend? Wow.
That is it, man. Number 10, Oklahoma, at number 7, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State is -4.5. Oklahoma State is the home favorite against the Sooners by 4.5 points. It's a night game, 7:30 kickoff in Stillwater. Who you got, Chris?
I got OK State.
Yeah.
Guns blazing, nighttime, 7:30. Right? You said 7:30 kick.
7:30.
On the road. Yeah, I got Oklahoma State in this one. That's a tough place to play. They're a good team. And I haven't followed Oklahoma quite a bit. I know they've had some turnover at the quarterback position. Defensively, they tend to struggle a lot. Don't like them on the road. Not at night.
You know what's crazy about, like, every single thing I think about and I think I know about Oklahoma State is, like, not how they are this year. They play defense.
They do. Okay.
They're not – every time I think Oklahoma State, I just think Gundy's mullet, and they're just winging it all over the field. And that's not what they do this year. They run the ball, huh? And they play defense. And I think because of that, they might blow that spread out of the water.
Does he still have the mullet, though?
Oh, yeah.
Still has that thing?
He's reined it in a little bit, but
how has there not been an intervention yet? Has somebody sat down with him and said, you got to stop this?
I think after like 8 years, people are just like, who cares? Like, it was kind of a novelty. The novelty is done and gone now, and now he's just a guy with a mullet.
But now it's – but there's only one worse thing than a novelty mullet. It's a serious mullet.
Real mullet? Yeah.
It's like a legit serious mullet.
Business in the front, party in the back, bro. All right, here we go. Last but certainly not least, the only other matchup in the top 25 is
the only game that matters.
Game, dude. Number 2, Ohio State at number 5, Michigan. Noon kickoff. The Buckeyes are favored by 7. I know where you're going to go because I saw your write up that you sent me a little bit ago. We will have that article completed and finished here as soon as we're done with this podcast, where myself, Chris, Josh and Jacob are two interns who are awesome this year. Students at Michigan, both write for the Daily. I'm interested to see what they have to say as young 20-year-old students at the University of Michigan. Go ahead, Chris. The floor is yours. If you need to change your pants first or you want to wait till you're done, that's up to you. But I would like to hear what you have to say. He takes a big gulp of the adult beverage. Ahead of this.
Well, so, and I said this in the write-up, but I told myself after the Michigan State game, I even said it on this podcast, that never again would I pick the Wolverines when my gut was telling me, don't pick the Wolverines. When every fiber of my being was saying, don't do it, because you know how this plays out. I told myself I wasn't going to go there again, and I lied to myself.
Yes.
I have given my whole heart to Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan. Well, go ahead.
Let me pause. It takes four seasons for that to go away. I'm just going to tell
you. It might.
That's what it took for me. I used to do every time, dude.
As of now, I have given my whole heart to Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. I believe in this team. I believe there's something special. I love the leadership of Aiden Hutchinson, of guys like Blake Corum. I think the locker room's different. I think the mentality's different. I think the chemistry's different. I think the mental makeup is different. I love everything about this team. Here's how I see it playing out. First series, C.J. Stroud gets put on his ass. The big house is rocking, and the Buckeyes never recover. I got Michigan 27-23. The Wolverines.
Wow.
And a celebration in Ann Arbor unlike any other. I might get nude in Ann Arbor. If anybody's going to be partying after the game, look for the naked, slightly overweight guy, bearded guy. That's me. I'll be wearing the winged helmet hat still, probably.
Sex addiction or something?
That's all Wolverines.
I want where this. This is
27-23.
This is episode number 83, I think, for us since I started counting them.
Maybe.
I think we're batting like 500 for mentioning you being naked. Close.
We talk a lot about nudity.
Do what you want with that. Chris, I already said in my predictions that I think Ohio State's going to cover the spread. I think they're just way too talented. I think they're way too good on offense. I think they are hitting their stride at the worst possible time of the season for Michigan and Michigan fans. I've got them winning this game 42-20.
No.
Yep.
Listen, nobody can accuse you of being unrealistic. I'll give you that. Nobody can accuse you of being unrealistic.
And I would like to point out that this is only the second time all season that I have picked against Michigan. That's true. The first time I was very wrong, it was the Wisconsin game. We were both wrong. We were both wrong on that. And we, you know, we came back the next week and we were like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
They're telling me to kick you out, Brandon.
Yeah, well,
that's disrespectful. Look at this.
That's really how it works, folks. Listen, I just, you know, if I had not watched the game between Michigan State and Ohio State last week and didn't know anything about it, I don't know where I would go with this. It would be very different. But watching that game, I know it was in Columbus. I know Michigan State stubbornly tried to do what they did on defense, and their pass defense was atrocious. I get it. But watching that Ohio State team do what they did to a Michigan State team that beat Michigan, I know the transitive property doesn't work in football. If it did, you'd never have to play the games. You could just look at who did what, and then that's it. But, dude, 49-0 at halftime. It was a massacre.
Do you think there is any scenario in which that occurs in Ann Arbor, in which Aiden Hutchinson, David Ojabo, Josh Ross, any of those guys let that happen? There's not a chance.
I do.
Not a chance.
It's not letting them do anything. It's just Ryan Day and his offensive staff scheming up things that work against other teams and having really good freaking athletes to execute it.
Here's what I'll say. Your assessment is honest. I, it's based in reality. It's based on facts. I've said in my write-up, if you look at history, you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. And the informed decision would be to pick Ohio State over Michigan because that's how it works. But I'm still of the belief there's a feeling within Schembechler Hall. The leadership does feel different. I think it's enough to get it done tomorrow. It's with my heart.
I don't want to be that guy.
We'll be the yin and yang.
I have to ask you though, what do you think the feeling is like in the football buildings in Columbus?
Extremely confident.
Exactly. I just like this whole I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. After watching that game last week, I can't get there. I can't get there giving Michigan a chance
and
to
beat that team. And nobody should blame you for that. It's hard to get there. It's hard for me to get there. If I use my head.
Clay, at least give me some false hope, please.
Listen, you're not going to get any false hope from Brandon Brown.
I can't do it. I just call it like I see it happening. If I'm wrong.
Dude, I mean, we've already if you're wrong, you will be in Ann Arbor with me tomorrow night. Getting later. Listen, Brandon is so confident in his pick. He's got to go meet his family up in Wisconsin. He's so confident in his pick that he said if Michigan wins, he will scrap the family trip to Wisconsin and come get hammered with me in Ann Arbor.
I did say that. My parents and my little guy and my wife, they're in Wisconsin. My sister and her family got there today, and I'm meeting them there tomorrow. And that's the plan. As soon as the game is over, I'm hitting the road, and I'm going to Wisconsin. That's where we're celebrating our Thanksgiving. I know it's a little bit unorthodox and backwards and blah, 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 blah. But D. Brown, MSU shit the bed, Brandon. That was an anomaly, and you know it. No, it wasn't. That was one team being a hell of a lot better than the other team and executing and killing a team's spirit. It wasn't an anomaly.
Yeah,
it's a really bad matchup. It is a really bad matchup because Ohio State's best strength was against Michigan State's biggest weakness. But Ryan Day has not lost a Big Ten game. Ryan Day has not lost a Big Ten game. They scored 62 and 59 against Michigan the last two times they played. Dude, it's not an anomaly. I'm sorry. I know that your fandom is boiling up in you and you want nothing more than for Ohio State to just not be good, but they're good. And that's all this is based on. It's all this is based on. I think they're good. I think they're a really good football team. I think their offense is insane. I think they're going to score a shitload of points. That's all it is. That's all it is. Now,
Ryan Day hasn't had a Big Ten game. Is that what you said?
Ryan Day is undefeated as a coach in the Big Ten. Never lost one. 23 or 24-0 at this point. I think Chris quit. But he heard Brandon talk and he just quit. Walked out.
I'm out. I'm about this.
We'll fade out that music. We'll start up our outro. And we'll just sit here and think about tomorrow because it is going to be awesome. I'm super excited to be there.
What they do, right?
I'll tell you right now. I'm going to have Michigan gear on tomorrow. I do that every year for the Ohio State game.
You have to.
You're not going to see it. It's not going to be outward, but it's going to be on. It's going to be on my body. And I know what I'll want to happen, but again, Chris, four seasons. This bad boy starts to outweigh this bad boy.
I know, but see, that's why you need me to keep you from falling off the deep end.
Maybe.
I'm throwing you a lifeline, Brandon. Just take the raft. Come with me.
Just remember. I'm not sure what that hand gesture was. Please don't ever do that again.
That's pulling the rope.
That's doing something.
This will be on hand tomorrow. I anticipate on drinking it. Okay.
Just remember who adamantly did this move and said to the moon.
Well, yeah, but you're talking loss. I'm not there.
Okay.
I'm in win mode.
Okay.
I can't even get my mind around a loss.
I
will will this team to victory with my fandom.
Don't say that, dude. You just became one of the people that you talk shit about.
That's why I said it. And I will demand credit after the fact.
You guys like the shirt? Brandon with a new shirt today. I don't know about new.
The gray and white stripe?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to do my thing out here.
It's gangster. American Eagle?
I think it's Gap.
This f***ing guy.
There you have it. There you have
it. What a show. Wow. I'm excited. Ohio State Eve, man. I can't wait.
We will be there tomorrow. Oh, actually, let me start the outro music one more time because let's get a little bit of a feedback real quick from the loyal viewers. So Chris and I have talked that after the game tomorrow, regardless of a win or a loss, we will probably both go to Jim Harbaugh's press conference, which we haven't been doing this year because they play them in the press box. We can get the transcripts afterwards. Yeah, you know, it's kind of nice to be in the room and get some of the video and stuff, but we've been able to create content without having to go to the pressers. Instead, we get a story or two put up. We do our live stream right after the game. We have a little 10, 15-minute discussion. Tomorrow, regardless of the outcome, we are going to the press conference. Right, Kristen? We decided to
move. I think we got
to. For those of you who look forward to hearing us immediately after the game, it's going to be a little bit later than normal just because we're going to go to the presser first. That way, if there's any questions that need to be asked or if, you know, Jim Harbaugh and his wife start yelling at reporters like we've seen before after the Ohio State game, we kind of want to be in there for that. And then after that's over, we'll post up and set up somewhere and we will come to you live, probably still within the hour. But it does take a little bit of time to get down there. Jim Harbaugh comes out. The players come out. So it's going to be a little later. So
just stick with us. We're not skipping it. Yeah,
We're not skipping it. We're just shifting it a little bit. So just wanted to put that out there. Oh, yes, Michael, his wife had some issues and some words to say to a reporter before, which, you know, whatever. I'll answer your questions, not your insults. Jim, you just got beat by 30. Do you want to talk about it or do you not? Yes. Come on. And his wife got mad at the question, too. It was wild. It's interesting. Jordan Strack was the young man's name. He's a reporter in Toledo. I thought his question was on point. Harbaugh did not like it. Didn't like it. There you have it. Two outro musics, dude. That's over 2 minutes long because we just had so much to get through. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon.
Go Blue.
There you go. You know what Chris is saying.
I'm just going to start by saying go Blue.
Go Blue.